All right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast NBA Podcast. My name is Keith, and in a surprising twist, I'm here with John in person.
Hey now.
And Chuck calling from undisclosed location.
What's up? It's Murfreesboro.
Back in Murfreesboro. Not living, just living.
Chuck, can you get divorced after you've already been divorced from the same person without remarrying the same person?
I don't know.
Just double down on it?
Just like tell her I don't want to be with you again forever.
Just like as a statement. Yeah.
kind of a renewing of your divorce vows.
Ooh, that would be great.
I feel like we could start that process. Make a website, TV show.
Her and I could just get together once a year on the day that we got divorced on our anniversary.
It's our divorcery.
And just reemphasize how much we need
to
be apart.
Really shouldn't ever be together.
Yeah. All right.
That sounds incredible.
Well, we are recording this episode on a Wednesday afternoon as our schedule has carried us this season. It's been kind of a weird, I guess the unfortunate part is there's always lots of games on Wednesday night, but we have to get the recording in. But on this Wednesday, did we have breakfast?
I was in the borough.
What'd you have, Chuck?
Oh, I hit up that good Broasters at the Sitco.
Broasters!
Formerly of the Kenny Rogers persuasion.
Not roasters, Broasters with
Broasters.
A B.
Oh, the gas station.
Sorry.
A thing I'd never heard of until Chuck brought it into my life. And then I started seeing it. Mm-hmm. It's like when my wife tells me what a pop song is. I've never heard that song before. And then I'm watching League Pass, and I realize that song is played 10 times a night in the arenas. And I just, somehow had never heard it.
Just blacked it out. Yeah, I had a chicken biscuit from Broasters.
Throwback, Chuck.
It's a good biscuit. Yeah, I went in and got some cigarettes and got a biscuit. And then ate it before I came in, because I'm with my kid right now. He's in the other room. Trying not to light stuff on fire.
Like the cigarettes.
Well, the cigarettes. I leave him. The cigarettes were for him. They weren't for
right.
me.
Because you're
a pack a day.
You're a vape man now. So.
Oh, I'm vape. I'm the vape god, pretty much. But I recently found out that Broasters, they do a pressure fry on their chicken.
Expound.
So there's a fryer.
Sounds dangerous.
So you know how there's pressure cooking where, you know, the... It's basically a sealed container that allows for cooking to occur at a much higher rate. Like a pressure cooker cooks steak faster than you would in an oven or baking it. They do the same thing with a fryer. So they have a pressure fryer, and it's an actual like incredible piece of technology that they use at the Broasters. That one of the restaurants in town here, Pinewood Social, bought a Broasters pressure fryer.
And charge you like $42 for a chicken stick, which?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. So you've got – it's a fantastic technology, and the chicken's incredible. If you ever get a chance to go to a Broasters, Ghosters to the Broasters.
I went to the Pinewood Social one night and needed just a slight snack, like just a bar appetizer.
Do you have to take out a loan?
No, they only – like the only side they sold solo at this point was broccoli.
Oh,
it was
no.
Like I got like an $8 side of broccoli to snack. Maybe it was fried broccoli or something. It didn't really. I was like, you don't have any chips or fries or wings or I don't know if that's still the case.
The place is trash.
Anyway, for my breakfast, I had, which is becoming kind of a routine, just a banana, nice banana and a couple cups of coffee. It's stealing from the baby food. You know, now I'm actually not eating the pureed packaged stuff. I'm just eating the straight banana. But yeah, it's treating me right. I'm enjoying it.
I got pretty weird, boys.
What'd you do, John?
I had to drive very early in the morning, and I'm not supposed to have caffeine. Not so much because of any health reasons, although I'm probably not supposed to have caffeine for health reasons. But I am basically unbearable under the influence of caffeine. But I had two Red Bulls just to make the drive up.
Oh,
and. Boy, oh boy, did I come down hard sitting in Keith's driveway waiting for him to get here.
Just crashed?
Whew. I mean, that was like some yayo. It was serious. I don't know what was going on.
If you don't do a lot of Red Bull, it's effectively cranked.
So I had two Red Bulls, and that made it my first and second Red Bull.
I've also had like three and maybe a handful of other various rock star type energy drink things, like maybe five in my whole life.
Right.
Every time I do it, I get heartburn and a horrible stomach ache. So I don't know what the... I haven't learned yet.
That's funny because I have heartburn and a horrible stomach ache.
Well, speaking of regrets, after our breakfasts, we get to our breakfast in bed apologies, and this is our chance to make right what we might have gotten wrong on any previous episode. Does anyone have anything they need to apologize for?
Devin Booker, I'm sorry. I still think like he's pretty rough to watch on defense, but it's becoming blatantly obvious that he has gives so much on offense that it's worth the trade-off, and he's, you know, a notable NBA player.
That's funny. We didn't compare notes, or as some might say, prepare. I also was going to apologize for Devin Booker. Along the lines, again, I enjoy throwing out that Devin Booker, OJ Mayo thing. And people who get angry, do not forget OJ Mayo was a prolific scorer.
That's right.
He was a 19 points a game, 18 points a game guy. But Devin Booker, playing in Mexico City, who scored 39 points in both games.
Yeah, he scored like 75 points in two games. Really in like two, in six quarters, I think.
Right. You, didn't you tweet that? 28 in a fourth quarter and then 39 in the following game as they upset the Suns. And Devin Booker playing to his heritage. His grandfather is Mexican, so he's of Mexican descent and just really went full machete.
That's the type of information I know before I call my bookie, Keith. Please.
Right. I will say he's still horribly damaging to that team. Maybe full stop. Like, the way he doesn't play defense, the way he turns the ball over. In that game where he probably made a whole generation of Booker fans in Mexico City by scoring 28 in the fourth quarter in a loss to the Mavs, he had seven turnovers in that game that effectively got them out of the game before we got to the fourth quarter. And that started a conversation where I was asking some of the analyst people from like the Nylon Calculus and our fan-sided, the step back email chain, like what is better, you know, to be 13 of 19 with seven turnovers or 6 of 19. They were pointing out that, you know, your expected points per possession is way greater if you're actually shooting a higher percentage. But we kind of worked it out, I think, using DRE, which is one of the Nylon Calculus formulas, that so like 9 out of 19 with no turnovers is roughly similar than 13 out of 19 with seven turnovers, which kind of makes sense. I mean, I was thinking about how the turnovers put your defense in a bad situation, but then you're getting those points back on offense. But anyway, if you want to know more about that and learn, go to Nylon Calculus. It's all over my head. I just try to pull out the little
just try to fit
that
in.
Understand.
Say things like PER and box plus minus,
box
stuff like
plus
that.
Minus.
Do not
That's
say PER to
now.
Them. You will be shunned.
Oh. Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Chuck, it's like using ERA with an old with the new school baseball kids.
Yeah. Chuck, you got anything you feel bad about?
Oh, yeah. So
I
much.
Feel bad.
The Run the Jewels concert last night?
I was at a Run the Jewels concert. I didn't pull my knife on anyone, so that worked.
Chuck does not recall seeing me.
I don't think I saw John. I'm gonna go on record as saying I did not see John, and he's trying to mess with my head because I may or may not have been on hallucinogens. But I want to. It's not apologies that I messed up, but I just feel sorry for Clippers fans. We got Chris Paul.
They deserve some condolences.
Gnarly injury. He's going to be out for a few weeks. It's 6 to 8 weeks. Maybe he returns faster. But it puts him behind the ball when it comes to the playoffs. And they were already kind of stumbling and bumbling a bit after Blake got hurt. And now they've got another real task to kind of stay in playoff contention until Chris Paul gets back and has to figure out his playing shape again. So, yeah, it just seems as the Clippers and Chris Paul specifically, it's just he can't catch a break.
What he can catch a chair.
Mm-hmm. I see what you did there.
A lot of people saying, what did the Clippers do to deserve this? Google Donald Sterling.
Right.
I know it's always a shame when other people, when the sins of the father come down on the child. But, you know, sorry, guys. Your franchise did horrible, horrible things. The good news for the Clippers is they're going to make the playoffs. Like, they can't fall out because the eighth seed is so far back. But it does look almost impossible to think that they'll have home court advantage in even the first round. So mm-hmm. then the idea of them having to win multiple series on the road is almost, there's almost no chance. So now, yeah, it is dark things for the Clippers, who, again, we said it a few times, they were amazing the first like 3 weeks of the season. Just looked like one of the, you know, absolute elite teams. And now we're not sure what we're going to see. But again, they should hopefully all be healthy for the playoffs. After our breakfast and bed apologies, we're going to jump straight to our steak and eggs best thing. What's just steak and eggs? What's your best thing you saw this week?
Really quickly, Joel Embiid pulling out the great Kabuki, great Muda, and if you must, Triple H water mist entrance.
It was incredible.
I mean, we'll call it like we see it. He needs to work on the actual spray. You gotta like blow more. You can't spit so much and get the real spray.
It was more of a fountain.
Yeah, it was a little mucusy. Needs to be more of a mist. But I believe that in due time, not only will he get that down to a mist, but he'll probably, like the great Muta, National Wrestling Alliance TV title champion, 1989, will be able to incorporate colored mists, which Ooh. Means different kinds of poisons for you non-wrestling fans.
This is all...
One of those mists actually kills you. Don't know if you guys knew that.
You'll die.
I'm hoping he uses that on Jahlil Okafor.
Well, that leads me to my best thing this week, talking about Jahlil Okafor. Someone on Twitter, his name's Seamus Clancy, said, imagine taking a bus for 2 hours just to see Jahlil Okafor start.
Oh, yes.
And then Jahlil's dad claps back with, imagine me slapping the shit out of you. So it was incredible.
Context, like, obviously being the fan disappointed not to see Joel Embiid
right.
and being stuck
Incredible.
With Jahlil Okafor. But yeah, Twitter is a fantastic vehicle for entertainment.
Who would win in a fight, Jahlil Okafor's father's Twitter feed or just Yusuf Nurkic's super cop father? I know this is very meta and conceptual.
Yeah.
Maybe, just maybe, we have a brawl on our hand.
Speaking of Twitter, my best thing was Rajon Rondo defending himself, bragging about how he led the league in assists last year playing for the Kings, and said that most people couldn't name, or he was accusing the people that they could not name three people on last year's Kings, to which Seth Curry tweeted out a Sporkle quiz, name the 2015-16 Sacramento Kings. So that was amusing.
It's not amusing. That's cold-blooded.
Yeah. It's pretty, and honestly, that quiz is kind of hard.
You guys just introduced me to Sporkle, and it ruined my confidence for the rest of my life.
Oh, yeah. Sporkle's good. All right. Well, the opposite of the best thing, the cream of wheat, worst of week. What's the worst thing from this last week?
Well, I'm a little sad because I think the great Georgian all-star troll isn't going to work. I was hoping we all know Zaza Pachulia. He's all 300,000 votes ahead of Kawhi Leonard in all-star voting this year, and he's most likely not going to start, or there's talk about him not even being able to make the team because of the weighted coaches and players votes. So I think if a whole country gets behind a player like Pachulia, I think we should let that country get its just dessert. And if everyone can, you know,
if only Georgia had as many people as China. Certainly work for Yao Ming. Yao Ming.
Yeah, I mean, but the country of Georgia doesn't even have that many people in it. I mean, it's not. There are many, many states with way more people than the country of Georgia. So it does seem like these other teams could maybe beat him. But yeah, I'm with you, Chuck. It's sad that the fans aren't going to get what they're voting for. I'm more of team let the fans. It used to be, I used to get angry that like they were still voting Kobe Bryant in. But now, hey, if they're voting Zaza Pachulia, what's the big difference? I think it's going to be wild.
And I'm with it.
And this is looking forward to, we're going to name our all-star starters and reserves later in the show.
Brace for it.
But I think it's going to be funny in a couple weeks when the media, we actually see who the players vote for, because it could. I think it might be crazy. I think it might be have a big counter result that they did not expect. of like, oh, this is actually not any better either. People are going to be upset. But anyway, my worst of week is I was looking at some of our listener, or the geography of our listenership, and I was thinking, I probably spend 15% of this show talking about Nikola Jokic.
Buckle up.
It turns out less than 1% of our listeners live in the state of Colorado.
Son of a...
I was devastated. I assume we had some. I mean, I'm doing Jokic vines and all kinds of NBA votes for him. I thought we might have had some listeners out there in Colorado, but very, very small numbers. So I'm a little down about that.
Well, you're you know, spreading the gospel to people who don't know about that Jokic, Nurkic,
malfeasance.
I mean, I even named the Nuggets, publicly named the Nuggets as my cheat team for the year, my mistress basketball franchise.
That's right.
And
you're Larry David special.
I wasn't purposely trying to suck up to the Denver listeners, but I figured maybe some people would have come along for the ride. So that's my worst of week.
My worst is less lighthearted than new fellows. I really plan on and think the NBA should plan on going forward. And I wish I had realized this before it actually transpired, but there should always be a Memphis Grizzlies home game on Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it should always be a big deal. And it should be like the Christmas Day game. And like my old lady kind of argued, well, maybe the Grizzlies are just observing it, but they're not. They've done it in the past. That should be like a staple, I feel like. I mean, yeah. Martin Luther King died at the Lorraine Hotel in Memphis. It should be a time to like, for Memphis to have a chance to, you know, have a real day of observance and remembrance. And I just think it would be an incredible NBA thing. I think we should push it as hard as we can push it next year on Twitter, which will mean nothing, but will be fun to do.
Well, tons of the Grizzlies media was furious about it.
Really?
From the first announcing of it, the game, the Martin Luther King game being on Sunday night.
Right.
And they were very upset. And yes, the Grizzlies as a team used that day, actual Martin Luther King holiday, to do events and do charity work.
Okay,
but
yeah.
Still,
I think it should be like a 2 o'clock game.
Yeah, but the fact that the NBA still had televised games on
Monday
yeah. and it wasn't the Grizzlies, it seemed really strange. I know Chris Harrington of the Memphis Commercial Appeal is a big, like the Hawks and the Grizzlies should play.
That would be awesome.
You know, all the time. It's too logical. And the fact that the NBA seemed to move this focus away from Memphis and to the other teams, like the Warriors Cavs was the big crown jewel, which is just a ratings thing. Like,
yeah.
It should be more about...
They need to make it more about the why this is a holiday.
And the Grizzlies and the NBA, ESPN got in trouble because the NFL shadily moved their game to Sunday night for higher ratings, claiming weather issues.
Hey man,
and then
Ice
they went
Storm.
Up against... they went up
Ang Lee Ice Storm.
Yeah, went up against a disappointing Bulls-Grizzlies game. That was serious. That was a serious 2 minutes of our
oh,
talk.
Yes. Did everyone do their worst of the week? Did Chuck do his? Because I'm chomping at the bit to get to these all-star teams.
Yeah, let's move to Hassan Whiteside presents Scattered, Smothered... Hassan Whiteside cocks it back to Waffle House, presents Scattered, Smothered, Covered... Fast Break Breakfast All-Star Selections.
I think I broke my cockyx.
Yeah, we are going to go ahead and name, and not just name our starters, because the starters will be announced on Thursday when our show is released, and then the reserves will be named the week after. We're going to go ahead and name
them. Are we going to start with the West, where I just seem slightly stupid, or are we going to start with the East, where I seem like Lenny from Of Mice and Men?
Let's do the Eastern Conference.
You son of a bitch.
Yeah, so... Eastern Conference All-Star. Let's go. John, you want to go first? Who are your starters? And I know this is just
probably be good for me to go first every time just so that I can then be drawn and quartered by you two.
Yep.
I guess it'd be drawn and halved this time. At guard, Kyle Lowry.
Right.
At guard, John Wall.
Right.
At small forward, Giannis Antetokounmpo. At power forward, LeBron James, Chuck.
Don't say it like that.
At center, and I did say center.
Oh, you're going full center?
Joel, the process, Embiid.
I love what you did. All right, so, and I honestly hope, that's a great thing. I think Joel Embiid, even though with limited minutes, likely best center in the East.
I mean, who would you compare him to?
Yeah, it's like the other guys who are good centers, you know, like the Dwight Howards, Hassan Whiteside, Andre Drummond, laughable in my mind, comparison to what Joel Embiid's done.
I only have two arguments for Joel as a starter. I like to name centers. I named a center in the West also. There were many deserving candidates in the West. But also, when we get down here, the forwards, the front court stuff and on the bench is dire.
Right.
Extremely dire. But his per 36 numbers are indisputable and historic. And then if you just look at the incredible improvement of the 76ers this year, and when he plays, they're like a top 10 defensive team. They're 11th, period.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's with him sitting out on a minutes restriction and sitting out the second half of back-to-backs.
I might be wrong about this, but I think when he's on the court, they have the top defensive rating in the NBA.
I mean, I just think he's like one of the true game-changing players we have right now and deserves to start on the All-Star team.
Chuck, I'm curious, did your starters differ at all?
Yeah, I went with Isaiah instead of John Wall, Thomas.
I think most people would.
I go Jimmy Buckets. I went three forwards.
Right on.
And I put Jimmy Butler as a starter over Embiid. I think he's having a better overall year. He's a top 10 player right now. So my starters are Lowry, Thomas, LeBron, Giannis, and Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
So I think Butler's playing incredible basketball. So,
and that's closer to what I did. Mine is, I did the same thing with you, Chuck, in the front court, same thing as John in the back court. So my starters, Kyle Lowry, John Wall, LeBron James, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Jimmy Butler. So I cheated with...
Yes.
I did the all forwards, no true center.
If I could have just put one guard in, I would have had Kyle Lowry, and I would have put Jimmy Butler at guard, which I probably could have done, but then I would have gotten screwed on my bench, so I had to kind of sneak John Wall in as a starter, but I certainly think Jimmy Butler's played well enough to deserve it. The reason I couldn't start Isaiah Thomas is very simple. I know he's having this historic captain comeback, best fourth quarter player ever, half season thing. He's one of the worst defensive players in the NBA.
Yeah, it's the All-Star game.
Defense is so bad, he's dragging what was once one of the best defensive teams in the NBA into now they're not that good at all on defense.
They are. Yeah. His fourth quarter defensive plus minus is one of the worst in the NBA. It's like 400th something.
I mean, and to me, like, I'm going to have players on my All-Star team who are here for defensive reasons. Mostly. I know it's, as Chuck said, an exhibition game, but these spots to me, like, you know, giving them to one of the best defensive players is important. I think like that's the reason Embiid's on this for me.
However, in Isaiah Thomas's defense, who I assume is definitely making your reserves.
Absolutely.
Like he's clearly making the All-Star game.
He was, besides Jimmy Butler, the next closest cut on the starters. Right.
So Isaiah Thomas is averaging 28 points and 6 assists, which is just staggering numbers.
Amazing.
28.4 and 6 assists. I don't know if you know this, guys. Only 15 players in NBA history have averaged 28 points, at least 28 points and 6 assists in a season.
Right, and he won't.
So.
Oh, no, you're no, not, no, no, no.
Not, you're not that difficult game of scones.
Oh, God.
Name the 15 players, or it's 16 if you count Isaiah Thomas this year. Name the other 15 players in NBA history to average 28 points and 6 assists in a season. We're going to let Chuck go first. I know John went first
last
week. So, again, these are guys who have averaged 28 and 6 in a season.
This is going to hurt.
Since when?
I think this is actually goes back to like the '60s because we have assist and basketball reference. I think takes me all the way back through the '60s on this one.
Gonna go Oscar Robertson.
Oscar Robertson, Chuck nailed it. He did it 8 times. Good job.
Wilt Chamberlain.
Wilt Chamberlain never.
Wow.
Did it.
I thought that year he like
maybe
led
this doesn't
league in
include
assists,
that.
Because I figured he still probably had, maybe he didn't have 28 points a game that year.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he went under. He is not on the list.
I always try to get cued early and it always bites me
in the
bottom.
That's a strike. That's a strike for John.
I'm going to go Michael Jeffrey Jordan.
Michael Jeffrey Jordan did it 3 times.
Crushing me.
Chuck with 2 correct answers.
LeBron.
LeBron James has done it 4 times. Good job, John.
I'm going to go...
It's really been 15?
Uh-huh.
That's amazing.
Allen Iverson?
Allen Iverson did it twice. Chuck, you're on fire.
I'm going to miss one here. Larry Bird.
Larry Bird did it 3 times.
Okay. I was scared he didn't quite get there.
Kobe Bean Bryant.
Kobe Bean Bryant, no.
Amazing, Chuck.
He never averaged 6 assists a game.
That's incredible ball hoggery.
So that is 1 strike apiece.
I'm going to go with Kareem.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar did not do it.
Wow. Kobe and Kareem, horrible Laker ball hogs. You heard it here first.
That is 2 strikes for John.
What about Russ Westbrook?
Russell Westbrook, yes.
Well,
he's
done.
Doing it again this year, and he did it last year.
So this is kind of like a newish phenomenon in some ways.
To some degree, but there are some, there are some older guys, some historic Hall of Fame.
I don't think he ever averaged as many points, but did Magic Johnson ever do it?
Magic Johnson never did it.
Ah, not enough.
Yeah, I didn't go with him because the points.
So that's 3 strikes for me.
So John is out, and Chuck, you've already gotten 4 correct answers. I think that's great. There are several guys still in the NBA. There's 2 guys still in the NBA.
Durant.
3 of them. Not Durant.
Dirk?
Nope.
Wow.
He's never had 6 assists a game.
Oh, yes, you're right.
One of your favorite players.
Wade.
Dwayne Wade. Absolutely.
Oh, of course. We can't forget Tyreek Evans, probably.
No. Yeah, you would think. Also, James Harden, who this will be his 2nd year. Steph Curry has done it. The other correct answers, Jerry West 3 times, John Havlicek once.
I was going to go Hondo.
A man
if I had
who
not
I've
flamed out horribly.
In 1961.
Dolph Shays?
Richie Guerin.
Okay, you made that up.
And then Rick Barry, Gilbert Arenas, and Tiny Archibald.
Gilbert Arenas.
I was going to go Gilbert.
You guys did pretty well. I think you guys kind of aced that game of scones.
I got 2 Lakers-ish.
Yeah, yeah.
All 3 of my buffoonery answers were Lakers. Did you guys notice that? Shout out at Damon.
So since Chuck, you did so well in that Game of Thrones, you graduated to the more difficult next level Game of Scones. Game of Stones Tournament Edition.
Oh, God. No. Humiliation Edition.
This last week, Isaiah Thomas scored 35 points without attempting a single free throw. Only 33 players have ever done that.
Oh, jeez.
So your more difficult second level Game of Scones. Name the 33 players who have scored 35 points in a basketball game without attempting a free throw.
Without attempting a free throw?
Without attempting a free throw.
Can I go first?
John,
since I lost?
Go first.
I remember Hakeem Olajuwon getting 48.
Hakeem Olajuwon did do it. I don't know how many he scored, but that is a correct answer.
Right. Good luck, Chuck. I think it's the only one.
I'm going to go David Robinson.
David Robinson is correct.
Wow.
You guys are awesome.
Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. Let's throw Kareem at it again.
Kareem is correct.
Okay. He didn't like shooting free throws.
Actually, I looked at the box score because I was surprised. I think he had like 48 with no free throws, and that's what it said. The team only shot 8 free throws that game.
Wow. Guess
that was more back in the pure days.
Let's go Larry Bird.
Larry Bird is correct.
Wow.
You guys are smoking.
Guys, how many are there?
There's a lot. We got like 30 left.
I remember Damian Lillard having a big game without free throws.
Damian Lillard is correct.
Whew.
Let's go Carmelo.
Carmelo Anthony did not do it. 1 strike for Chuck.
Big game James Worthy.
James Worthy did it. That's amazing. Nice.
I just reread the Lakers book again, and I think it was referenced.
And so far, all these guys have only done it 1 time.
Oh, really?
Allen Iverson.
The guys who have done it twice are
no way Allen
hilarious.
Iverson did it. No way Allen
Iverson. Yeah, Allen Iverson, that's 2 strikes for Chuck.
All right. So if I get one, I got it. Let's do...
Well, I mean, Chuck has to strike out first.
Oh, Jesus. Let's do a shooter. Chuck Person.
That's awesome. That's awesome, John.
I got it.
Yeah, Chuck Person is correct.
That's crazy. Reggie Miller.
Reggie Miller.
That was my next guess.
Is a great guess, but it's wrong. Oh, I'm sorry, weird. Chuck.
I haven't gotten a single strike, have I?
No, yeah, that's
no.
I want to keep going.
It's a glorious win. All right, John, keep going. Do you miss one?
Okay, going to stay on the shooter train. Wally Zerbiak.
What? That's right.
What? So I'm just going to keep trying. Dale Ellis.
Dale Ellis is correct.
let's stay on the shooter tip. Alex English.
Alex English has done it twice.
Alex English has done it twice.
There is smoke coming out of John Burr's microphone.
I'm going to keep going.
The one time I win, John does this Rain Man shit.
Let's go with Del Curry.
Del Curry. Oh, is not correct. That was an amazing run.
Drazen Petrovic.
I'm going to read all the rest of these guys because they're kind of fun. Mark Aguirre, Ray Allen, Rick Berry.
No, we didn't say Ray Allen, Chuck. What's wrong with us?
Vince Carter, Rex Chapman, Monte Ellis. George Gervin, Gail Goodrich, Eddie House, of course.
Okay,
not of course, but that's pretty awesome.
I got all the ones I was going to get.
Steven Jackson, Captain Jack, Brandon Jennings, Danielle Marshall, CJ McCollum, Mike Mitchell, Anthony Morrow, Calvin Murphy, Jeff Petrie, Glenn Rice.
Jeff Petrie.
And the king of this stat.
Jeff Petrie plays hockey.
Jason Richardson did it three times.
Wow.
Quentin Richardson, Dennis Scott twice. Our boy Jason White Chocolate Williams did it, and Mo Williams. All right,
next time Vince hollers at the refs, I'm on Vince's side.
All right, that was an excessively long game of scones.
Yeah, and we just like interrupted our all-star picks,
and
too.
We're back.
Like, now we're back.
And we're back. So who are the reserves?
Like the weirdest tangent.
We pretty much all agree.
Hey, at least we did well on one for once ever.
I did well on one.
Okay, that is true.
I was proud of you guys. You guys both did well.
Crushed right. One.
So, I died on the easy one, crushed the hard
John,
one.
John,
welcome to my life.
Who are your Eastern Conference reserves?
Okay, I'm ready to be crucified. At guard, DeMar DeRozan, with the weirdest statistical season since Shaq, for a guard, anyways. And if I could have made him a forward, that would have made this so much easier.
Right.
And then I had Isaiah Thomas.
Right.
I had Dwight Howard.
Ho! I've seen that pick, but it's okay.
Just indisputable numbers. That's all it was.
Yep.
At forward. My other forwards are Kyrie Butler, and this is the one that I feel...
You got Irving and Butler, say? You say Kyrie?
At wild card, I have Kyrie Irving and Kemba Walker.
Okay.
At forwards, I had Dwight Howard, Jimmy Butler, and then my last pick, and it came down to four guys, Paul Millsap, Hassan Whiteside, Miles Turner... And then the person I put in, and I'm ready to defend it, a guy who can't even play at the end of games, Andre Drummond.
Wow. I'm actually shocked Andre Drummond is included.
Andre Drummond is having one of the best advanced statistics seasons. He is top 10 in defensive rating, both rebounding percentages. He's first in defensive rebounding percentage. He's third in defensive win shares. He's ninth in defensive box plus minus. And most importantly, other than Rudy Gobert, who I have in the West, is the second-best defensive rating, second-best defensive player in the league.
He also, his team gets outscored by the most points when he's on the court.
I know. I just, the way they put together the positions in this damned thing is so painful to me. Because in the East, it's all guards. All of it is guards.
Yep. So, Chuck, I'm curious, who are your reserves? And, which ones? I assume many of them are similar.
So, yeah, my reserves are DeMar DeRozan, Kemba Walker in the guard category. And then I had Embiid, Millsap, and Kevin Love.
I thought about Kevin
as
Love.
As my front court reserves. Also have Kyrie and John Wall.
Right.
As my guard.
We got them wild card spots. Fives are twos.
Fives are twos. Yeah, so my I guess if in our kind of setup we're going four guards, six forwards, and two wild cards.
Right.
My four guards are Lowry, Thomas, Kyrie, Wall. my forwards are LeBron, Giannis, Jimmy Butler, Embiid, and then my and Love, and my wild cards are DeRozan, Kemba, and Millsap.
Chuck. So the only difference between John and Chuck's All Star teams is John has
Dwight Howard, back nightmare.
Dwight Howard and Andre Drummond, and Chuck has Kevin Love and Paul Millsap. My reserves, also with you guys, I have DeRozan, I have Isaiah Thomas, I have Kyrie Irving. Wait, did you guys say Paul George?
No, I did not.
No, Paul George did not
okay,
make
so
my team.
I have right. I have Paul George.
On if you my... made me include a Pacer, it would have been Miles Turner. I think Paul George is having a frankly disappointing year, which may still be good enough for an All-Star team for some people, but...
Yep, so I have Paul George, which is, I guess, different from you guys. I have Joel Embiid, because he was not my starter. Isaiah Thomas, DeMar DeRozan, Kyrie Irving. And then I'm actually really struggling with my last... So I have two slots left, and I'm struggling between Paul Millsap, Kemba Walker, and Kevin Love. I'm not really
I think Kemba's definitely over both of those, and I would probably give the nod to Millsap over Kevin Love just because I don't even think Kevin Love is that important to his team winning or not right now.
He might not be, and it's a guy where the Cavs are coasting, and it might also be one of those, I don't know if it's political, where it's like, I don't know if I want to put three Cavs in.
I kind of wanted to put three Cavs in because I have three Warriors. So I kind of wanted to put Love in, but then I just sat there staring at the numbers, and Andre Drummond was punching me in the face despite – I don't even think he's, like, that incredible of a player, but he's having a really good season, and even though the Pistons are plummeting, when they've been hot, he's had put up some amazing numbers. But the points you made, Keith, I mean, are flashing lights in my face. I feel like Jean-Luc Picard. But that's what I did.
I think,
you know, with mine, if there's a doubt in my head over a player or two players, if they're, you know, similar statistically, I'm going to go with the team, the player that's on the better team.
It probably should have been Love.
Yeah. And that's why, I looked at Drummond, but I didn't, you know, I'm not a fan of the Pistons, what they're doing.
No, it's not working.
Much.
Well, I mean, Drummond for me is so far behind Dwight Howard.
Yeah.
And Dwight Howard is probably, he's at almost my cutoff, probably of my first snub.
Dwight is having a great year, but his great year has made Paul Millsap have a bad year. It's a weird thing.
Yeah, yeah, to some degree. But yeah, Dwight Howard, I think he's shooting 64%, and he's shooting like 56% on free throws, and then he's, you know, like 13.5 and 13.5. So those are interesting. So we pretty much all agree, and I think most of the world all agrees on like the
that
top
bench gets
nine
weird.
Or 10. The bench does get weird, and I think it's going to be interesting. Like, we didn't include Jabari Parker, who I think has a vague argument. If the Bucks had won some more games.
I agree.
Yeah.
Porzingis, Carmelo, we obviously did not include.
I mean,
Wade.
Wade, I assume, is going to get in.
Yeah.
He's going to get in, but
based on votes and then fan.
He's super deserving of it, though.
Yeah, I mean, I would say definitely not. I think Brad Beal has an argument of being a snub, and again, Whiteside. I mean, if we're picking bad teams, Brooke Lopez. I'm kidding.
Rolo.
He's like 11 people back. All right, let's move. Or I'd say, who do you guys think is the biggest snub? I kind of said what I thought mine was, but is there anybody else out there?
The biggest snub for me off of my team.
Yeah.
It would probably be Kevin Love.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's just everyone. Or is it?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I snubbed anybody. I think it was just a toss up between Love and Howard. And I went with Millsap over Howard because I think
placing Howard on a team, on an All-Star team, is very painful. I mean, this is a bit therapy for me right now. And Drummond, two of the least fun players to watch, like rebound hunting, stat hungry monsters.
Yeah,
but
when they go to Hack-A-Shack in the All-Star game, it's going to be brutal. All right, let's move to the Western Conference. Chuck, let's let you go first. Why don't you name your starters?
All right, so here are my starters. I'm going with my front court starters are Westbrook and Harden.
That's not true.
Backcourt.
Backcourt. I'm trying to put a TV show on for my son while I'm doing this so he won't bother me.
I would go with Californication.
He loves that show.
my backcourt starters are Westbrook and Harden. My front court starters are Durant, Kawhi, and Boogie.
What? Oh,
Boogie.
So I love Boogie.
That's good. Love Boogie. So John, what do you have that's different?
I think he's the best center in the league.
I have identical starters to Chuck, except for when Boogie went in for his 17th easy layup of the game where his team's not winning. I have Anthony Davis swatting it into the fifth row.
So,
his team also never wins.
I actually thought you were going to go shark there with,
Marc
Gasol. I also could not pull the trigger on Marc Gasol to be a starter.
Couldn't do it.
And mine's exactly the same as yours.
Spoiler, Marc Gasol is the last guy to make my
Harden, Westbrook,
my team.
Harden, Westbrook, Durant, Kawhi were unanimous. John and I both have Anthony Davis, and Chuck has Boogie Cousins. All right, let's move to the reserves, though, Chuck. So who's your reserves?
So my backcourt reserves are Steph Curry,
yep,
and Chris Paul.
Yep.
Well, Chris Paul's not playing, so I got a super reserve.
No, you
I
cheater.
Think Klay Thompson.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. I think Klay could be tough as the deep bench guy. That's my backcourt. My front court reserves are Draymond Green, Marc Gasol, and Anthony Davis. The brow is on my team. My last pick was Marc Gasol too. He was the guy that I was,
I think you have one
probably
more
probably put
no,
in
you,
there.
Yeah, you got some wild cards left.
Oh, I do, don't I? Okay.
Let's do John's, and then, we'll you can think about it, because you still have one more spot. We're going to allow you.
Right.
So I also went with the Chris Paul, Steph Curry backcourt.
Right.
My forwards are DeMarcus Cousins, Draymond Green, and for Draymond, it's just I know that everyone thinks there should be three Warriors, but he statistically deserves to be there.
Yeah,
he does.
Rudy Gobert.
Gobert.
And then my wild cards are Nikola Jokic and Marc Gasol.
I am the biggest Jokic fan in the world. Even I couldn't be that silly.
Look, I'm not going to punish him because it took Mike Malone this long to figure it out. There's a whole second half of the season to play with. He shows up everywhere in advanced stats. And I mean everywhere. And I'm near the top in many, many of these stats. I just can't leave him out. And it's my wild card spot, and that's what I'm going to use it for.
I like that you're playing to your heart.
It's my heart and my mind.
I'm in agreement that Mike Malone not only cost the Nuggets wins, he cost Jokic a good chance at the All-Star game.
Absolutely.
Like the Nuggets would be 5 or 6 games better probably if he had been starting at center all year. And his numbers when he starts at center are ridiculous. He's shooting 63% from the field or something and averaging over 20 points, 10 rebounds.
First in offensive rating.
Yeah. So it
not top 10, first in offensive range, top 5 in effective field goal percentage. I mean, top 5 in true shooting percentage. I mean, the guy's killing it. He's top 20, top 15 in PER.
Yeah.
I just can't. I can't argue with his game. I can't argue with. Only thing I can argue with is his usage.
Right. So your reserves were CP3, Curry, Cousins, Draymond, Marc Gasol, Nikola Jokic, Rudy Gobert.
Absolutely.
Lots of centers, but I like it.
Stand by it.
So my reserves are very similar. I have Curry, CP3, DeMarcus Cousins, Draymond, Marc Gasol, and then my last two.
Conley will be my Chris Paul replacement.
So my last two, I'm with Gobert, and in your Jokic spot, I put Gordon Hayward.
Yeah,
I think Gordon Hayward deserves it. So I have a big problem with Lillard.
No way.
Elite scorer, and again, having an elite scoring season. But I actually, looking at this, and I know we're Grizzlies fans, and I try to be objective. I think other years Lillard deserved it. I think last year he was much better than Conley, and he, maybe 2 years ago. But I think Conley is a better overall player, and he doesn't hurt you in ways that Dame Lillard does. But also, it's that the Grizzlies are several games over 500 and the Blazers are 6 or 7 games below 500. And that means enough for me. So yeah. So my ranking of guys who would get the Chris Paul slot. So if I'm going to number 13, I actually put in Mike Conley. I think Mike Conley has a decent shot of making the All-Star game this year as that 13th guy. I have him just ahead of Dame Lillard, ahead of Klay Thompson. Another guys I would consider is Karl-Anthony Towns, and if we're picking terrible teams, Eric Bledsoe.
I can't do Big Cat because I don't even feel like he's as good as he was last year.
Yeah, his numbers are still, you know, like very similar to what he was doing.
He did, but for some reason, his advanced numbers aren't as good, and then also he doesn't seem to take over games like he did last year.
Yeah.
But that might have a lot to do with things out of his control, and I can't talk one way out of Mike Malone on this side of my mouth and the other way about Tibbs the other side of my mouth, so that's understandable to me.
I like Big Cat for the All-Star in my last spots. So
you're giving it to Cat for your 12th spot.
Yeah,
I think DeAndre Jordan deserves it more than Big Cat.
That's interesting.
There's a discussion there, but I think I mean, offensively, he's going to make All-Star games in the future. I think he's going to get better. And this season, while the Timberwolves have been head-scratchingly bad, I've watched a few games with him just completely dominating.
He can be unguardable at times.
He can be unguardable. He can be a menace on the defensive end, too. I wouldn't lose any sleep putting in
Andre Drummond-esque nightmares about it.
I'm curious, Chuck, what do you have against the Utah Jazz?
So I like Rudy Gobert.
I'm being a little facetious, but
yeah, no. I picked no Jazz for the All-Star game.
Oh, yes.
Gordon Hayward's good. I don't know if he's an All-Star.
I agree. Gordon Hayward is good.
He's a good player. Bold. Rudy Gobert
is very, very good.
He's a good player. But, I mean, it's the next level. It's the All-Star
Rudy
game.
Rudy Gobert is second in offensive rating this year.
Well, yeah.
People are sleeping on his offensive ability.
Rudy Gobert's net rating is like plus 33. It's like, it's staggering.
Rudy Gobert is one of the most game-changing players there is right now.
He's shooting 66% from the field. I actually have pulled up a basketball reference. I was doing a three-player comparison of Rudy Gobert, Gordon Hayward, Karl-Anthony Towns. I know they're different, you know, but just looking at them all. I mean, Gordon Hayward, you know, if I was to throw raw stats at you, he's averaging 22 and 6 and 3.5 assists a steal. And he, again, is their default go-to guy on a team that's good. But I'm not saying
an argument against him.
Yeah.
He is the third most important player on that team when everyone's healthy because George Hill is more important to the Jazz than Gordon Hayward is.
That's a good argument. Those are tough. Some other guys that I would consider, again, I feel like Dame Lillard is, again, the one that sticks out is like everyone would expect him to be on. But I think the season that they're having right now most years he'd be in. I don't think McCollum can get in. I think LaMarcus Aldridge is not really even consideration. He's another guy that maybe people would think would get in. And actually, Jokic was my seventh alternate, John.
You guys ready for Enes Kanter to put up All-Star numbers for the rest of the year with Steven Adams out?
Is that coming?
I wouldn't doubt it.
I don't think we have a, you know, the same with the East as of the West. I think we agree pretty much on 10. And then whether or not Klay Thompson, Gordon Hayward, Karl-Anthony Towns, Gobert, Conley, whoever it is, gets those fringe spots, it's going to be really interesting. And again, I'm curious, when the players vote, and this is my par fadeaway, getting out of here with a par fadeaway, I'm looking forward to what is the most bizarre player vote. Like, will Kobe Bryant get enough votes? I assume players are out there going to vote for some crazy people. It's not going to be the regular
Tony Allen.
Dudes who we think. Right.
Tony Allen.
Will they get rid of player voting after 1 year if Derrick Rose is the starter?
Oh, geez.
Because he's like sixth in fan votes.
Mello.
Yeah, but you know those players, it's one of those funny things where like you hear players getting interviewed and they're like, last year it's like, who's the best defender in the NBA? They're like, Kobe Bryant. Like, that is crazy. Yet NBA players feel this way.
Well, my picks were commensurate with my intellect, which is pitiful, so I will regret them immediately and see you guys in the apology segment in a week or two.
No, I think they're pretty good. But you guys got anything that you are looking forward to in the coming week?
I mean, I basically want to see if the Jazz can keep up this kind of amazing offensive and defensive performance that they've been up to. And then, more than that, keep scoring Nuggets. I'm enjoying it.
the Nuggets offensive explosion ever since they went to London and got their mojo right.
Banging overs. Oh, you, by mojo, you mean just playing Nikola Jokic at center for many, many minutes a game.
It's fantastic. Chuck, are you even with us? Are you with us, Chuck?
Okay. Chuck's gone. See you at the party, Chuck.
Looks like we lost Chuck, but that wraps us up for another, again, technology challenge.
Good riddance to bad rubbish.
With the babysitting and phones. It's the fast break breakfast experience.
Are I pledge guys- to you, listeners, to never have children.
That's John Burr. All right, we have to go to a watch party, but thank you for checking us out. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Fast Break Break. You guys who support our Patreon, thank you ever so much. Always looking for more supporters. Patreon.com/Fast Break Breakfast. You guys are the best. Thanks for listening. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing. All right, we're here at a bar. We forgot to do our International Stackhouse of Pancakes. This is the awards segment of the program. We have three nominees this week. Chronologically, I'm here with Chuck and John.
It's Eric Gordon.
They are both drinking, and they're both looking at me like an idiot.
Yeah, this is a bad idea. It's Eric Gordon.
John Wall, 4 for 21, 9 points, 11 assists, 7 rebounds, 3 steals, 1 block, 1 turnover. Marcus Smart in a win versus the Hawks, 2 for 13, 9 points, 4 assists, 2 rebounds, 4 steals, though.
It's Eric Gordon.
Eric Gordon. In a loss to the Heat. 3 for 17, 7 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist, 1 block, 3 turnovers. No fouls in 30 minutes. That means he's not even trying.
Yeah, it's Eric Gordon.
Eric Gordon.
Eric Gordon from John.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Eric Gordon.
Eric Gordon from Chuck.
The Heat had no business beating the Rockets.
Marcus Smart did what he did. He was probably flopped 6 times.
I will say, I had some good honorable mentions, including Darren Hilliard. Which is the first time we've ever said his name on the
Did
show.
He play for the New Orleans Saints?
That's Dalton. Is he related? I think he would.
That's his son.
All right, so congratulations, Eric Gordon, on winning the International Stackhouse of Pancakes live from Edley's Barbecue. All right, thanks, guys.
Yeah, never apologize for being G&G. Fast break, man, you understand?